Hello and welcome to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Robert Johnson, a York and Scottish Rite Mason, as well as Knight Templar. This week was crazy. We had Thanksgiving, and everyone was going crazy for Black Friday deals. I heard a few people even got shot in Florida over something at Walmart. It's a shame. I read something on the internet the other day, and it said something like, "Only in America do we go nuts for stuff that is on sale that we don't need the day after we give thanks for everything that we have." I think some people need to sit back and relax just a bit. Anyway, let's get right to it. This week's feature article is called Where Parallel Lines Intersect. Where Parallel Lines Intersect by Reverend Jan L. Biederstadt, Past Master. Brother Jan L. Biederstadt is a member and past master of Copper County Lodge No. 135, Hancock, Michigan, and present junior warden of Bowring Lodge No. 414 of Standish, and editor of Michigan Masonic Publication, From Point to Point. But in modern times, they are dedicated to the Saints John the Baptist and Saint John the Evangelist, who were eminent patrons of Freemasonry. And since their time is represented in every regular and well-governed lodge, a certain point within a circle, the point representing an individual brother, the circle representing the boundary, which he is never to suffer his passions, prejudice, or interests to betray him on any occasion. The circle is embroidered by two perpendicular lines representing St. John the Baptist and St. John the Evangelist, who are perfect parallels in Christianity as well as in Masonry. Upon the vertex rests the Book of Holy Scriptures, which points out the whole duty of man. In going round the circle, we necessarily touch upon these two lines, as well as upon the Holy Scriptures. And while a Mason keeps himself thus circumscribed, it is impossible that he should materially err. From the Michigan Monitor. As a new entered apprentice, I stood and looked at the circle with the two parallel lines, and at my proficiency examination recited it with perfection. But what does this mean to me, a man and a Mason? And why the Saints John? Indeed, why? They were unique characters of Christianity, who were strange in their own right. Peculiar parallels. At first glance, in the scriptures, they seem like strange people to hold up as examples. John the Baptist's diet consisted of wild honey and locusts. Honey certainly is appealing, but the locust? A study of Middle Eastern customs indicates that they could be eaten fried, boiled, dried, or raw. Certainly not a person you'd want to invite into your lodge's next potluck. He dressed in camel hair clothing, and his hair and beard had a wild look about it. And he didn't have a lot of tact. He told you the truth straight to your face. He called the Pharisees a brood of vipers, and was fond of telling everyone to repent. In our politically correct era, he would certainly not be riding high in the polls. St. John the Evangelist was also a different sort. He was a rich kid, scripture tells us, that his father owned at least one fishing boat on the Galilee, and they had servants. And at the beginning of the Gospel of John, he was looking to find himself. He first attached himself to John the Baptist, until called by Christ. He was hot-tempered, so much so that Jesus called John and his brother James sons of thunder. He lived up to that name when the villagers in a small town in Samaria refused to welcome Jesus and the disciples, so he asked Jesus if he could rain fire and brimstone down upon them. Fortunately for the village, Jesus rebuked him. John was also self-seeking, asking with his brother James for thrones on the right and left of Christ when Jesus set up his early kingdom, thus placing himself above the other disciples. But when one goes beyond their faults, the Saints John have some strong qualities that every Mason should exhibit. When looking at John the Baptist, one must look at him through an Eastern light. John was a Nazarite, from birth, literally set aside for service to God. He let his hair and beard grow wild because, like Samson, he could not cut his hair, which was forbidden by Mosaic law. His appearance brought to mind, to the people who heard him, the stories of Elijah the prophet, who had dressed in similar manner. His clothing was of camel hair, because that was what the poor people wore. It was plentiful when the camels shed their coats. It was cheap, warm, and although scratchy, quite waterproof. John taught change of character. He pointed fearlessly to the truth, even at the cost of his life. It was better to die for truth than to live a lie, because he knew that the great light upon the altar, the Holy Scriptures, pointed to a better way of life with God. St. John the Evangelist teaches us to subdue our passions, one of the first things every Mason is taught in the Lodge. When we follow the Gospels and the Book of Acts in the New Testament, we see major transformation of young John. He goes from being the hot-tempered young man to one who exhibits peace in his old age. He goes from being intolerant of others to working with others in sharing his theology of a better way of life. John is loyal. He was the only disciple to attend the trial of Jesus as well as to be at the foot of the cross for the crucifixion. And when he heard about the empty tomb on Sunday morning, he was the first of the disciples to arrive. He also took care of the widows, taking Mary, the mother of Jesus, into his home until she died. A study of John's writing shows that he teaches truth with love. He didn't waver from his convictions, but he knew the power of truth and love in a person's life. Applying the Saints John to our lives. If they form the two parallels, when a Mason traveling the circle must touch both of the Saints John and learn from each of them. He must learn to subdue his passions. A story is told in my lodge about a man who took his entered apprentice degree and then 20 years later came back to take his proficiency. When asked why he waited so long, he replied, "It took me this long to learn to subdue my passions." Learning to subdue our passion is a lifelong process. Zeal, not tempered by love, becomes extremism and leads to misuse of power. The problems in Bosnia, Northern Ireland, and the Middle East can only be directly related to failure to subdue one's passions. While subduing one's passion is good, a Mason must always stand for truth. Truth, even when it is unpopular, is still better than an alternative. Truth will always reign. Even when some dictator tries to rewrite it, the real truth will always emerge. Like Saint John the Evangelist, a Mason must help the widow and orphan. In our lodges today, are we doing enough? Recently, I received a call from a new widow whose husband had unexpectedly died, and she was about to lose her house due to the loss of income with his death. "If anything ever happens to me, call the Masons," he would always tell her. But she wondered what they could do, and I wondered what would her husband's lodge do. It's up to every Mason to look after the widows and orphans. Every Mason must practice brotherly love, which is a unique characteristic of our fraternity. St. John writes about the true meaning of brotherly love when he says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother is in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him?" A Mason is called to practice charity. We must hear the cries of a needy brother, but we must also be aware of each other to see when we are in need. Masons must care, which we learn from the traveling circle, where parallel lines meet. If one travels the circle, he quickly finds that the two parallel lines meet at a point where the circle touches upon the volume of the sacred law. In Masonry, the Bible is called the Great Light and is placed in an open position in the center of the lodge. A brother is admonished to open it and learn from its wisdom in all the 3 degrees of Masonry. Indeed, the Saints John were well-versed in Scripture and held in high esteem. They looked with reverence to its knowledge because they knew the answers of life were contained within its pages. They were not afraid to quote it, trust it, read it, and to apply it to their lives. Masons must likewise emulate the Saints John in their application of this holy light in their lives. Only by its constant attention and application can a Mason improve his own life. If Masonry is to grow today, it will not be through some flashy change of altering of ritual. It will be when each brother begins to travel the circle on a regular basis, touching upon each of the patrons of Masonry as well as its scriptures. Each time we touch the scriptures or the Saints John, something should rub off on each of us, just as brushing against chalk will leave its mark, no matter how light the touch. Value like truth, subduing passions, brotherly love, care of widows and orphans, and practicing charity never go out of style. They are timeless values, and no matter how often attacked, always rise victorious in the end. The Saints John are timeless examples for each of us. Their foibles simply show their humanness. It is in their humanness that we can relate to them and see that if we apply Scripture and Masonic teachings, we too can become better men. What is the Lodge of the Holy Saints John at Jerusalem? Originally, the lodges were dedicated to King Solomon, later at least, as early as 1598, Masonry connected her name with that of Saints John the Evangelist. Dedications to the Saints John were made by other organizations as early as the 3rd century, when the Church adopted the two pagan celebrations of summer and winter solstices and made them Our Saint John Day in the summer and Saint John Day in the winter. It was wholly natural for operative Masons, having dedicated their craft to this holy Saint John, to begin to believe that both Johns were themselves craftsmen. Craftsmen must have a lodge. Where should that lodge be but in Jerusalem? Hence, the Lodge of Holy Saints John of Jerusalem came into imaginary existence. No such lodge ever existed, in fact, and yet it is not a fiction. It is an ideal, and without such ideals, our life would be dim and drab. The thought back of the question and answer, then, is that we come from an ideal lodge into this actual workday world, where our ideals are to be tested. Today, we use the phrase as the starting point for a Masonic career. Masons mean only that their craft is dedicated to those holy men whose precepts and practices, ideas and virtues, teachings and examples of all Freemasons should try to follow. That was from the MSA Digest 101 Questions. It should be noted, though, the Holy Scriptures book is not always the one that is open on the altar. It is the holy book of the candidate, but usually in open lodge it is the Holy Bible. Next, I want to say quickly, I want to mention our Android and Apple app, which lets you listen to the show streaming, download it, mark favorites, etc., and also have access to the papers we read, as well as some other extra content. And the other is Stitcher Smart Radio, which is another app which does virtually the same thing, but without the bonus features. Make sure you use the promo code Whence Came You with no spaces. That way they know why you came to Stitcher Radio to listen to Whence Came You. Now, also, I wanted to ask, it's getting close to the holidays, and I usually will go dark for the Christmas. So, only 1 week, but just before that, I add a PDF Masonic book as the bonus download, as my gift to you guys. So, what book do you guys want? Inbox me at wcypodcast@gmail.com, send me something on Twitter at Whence Came You, or find me on Facebook. I'm talking about Masonic books, usually older. Last year, the week before Christmas, I loaded up Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike via the PDF for you guys. So if you guys have an idea of a book you want, let me know and I'll see if I can get it and I'll put it up for you. This week's famous Freemason is Miles Gilbert Tim Horton. Miles Gilbert Tim Horton, born January 12, 1930, died February 21, 1974, was a Canadian professional hockey defenseman from Cochrane, Ontario. He played 22 seasons in the National Hockey League for the Toronto Maple Leafs, New York Rangers, Pittsburgh Penguins, and Buffalo Sabres. He was also a businessman and co-founder of the Tim Hortons, Canada's largest coffee and donut store chain. He died in a car accident in St. Catharines, Ontario. He was 44 years old. Horton had a reputation for enveloping players who were fighting him in a crushing bear hug. Boston Bruins winger Derek Sanderson once bit Horton during a fight. Years later, Horton's widow, Lori, still wondered why. "Well," Sanderson replied, "I felt one rib go, and I felt another rib go, so I just had to, well, get out of there." Injuries and age were little more than minor inconveniences to Horton, who was generally acknowledged as the strongest man in the game while he was playing, declared Chicago Blackhawks winger Bobby Hull, perhaps the only NHL player more muscular than Horton. "There were defensemen you had to fear, because they were vicious and would slam you into the boards from behind. For one, Eddie Shore. But you respected Tim Horton because he didn't need that type of intimidation. He used his tremendous strength and talent to keep you in check." In 1964, Horton opened his first Tim Horton donut shop in Hamilton, Ontario. He even added a few of his culinary creations to the initial menu. By 1967, Horton had partnered with an investor, Ron Joyce, who quickly took over operations and expanded the chain into a multi-million dollar franchise system. In addition to over 2,700 locations in Canada, Buffalo, New York has over 80 Tim Hortons donut shops, and they can be found in Detroit, Michigan, Columbus, Ohio, and other American cities, mainly in the Northeast and Great Lakes region. Tim Horton is buried in York Cemetery in Toronto. That was taken from CanadianMason.ca. That's it for this week. Remember to follow on Twitter at Whence Came You and find us on Facebook, Pinterest, Tumblr, and Google+. Again, I hope all of you had a great Thanksgiving. Stay on the level for Whence Came You. I'm Robert Johnson.